our church is in a good space. It's going well with our church. From conference was really great. We've experienced amazing things there. And then when we as pastors got together during this week, it was a really special time. And the first thing that God told me, because I like to go in the venue, there's a lot of people, so you greet everyone, and then I hang around somewhere in the back and close to the plugs if I want to do something on my laptop and whatever, and we had worship. And God has said to me, move from the judgment seat to the front seat. And I realized that often when we come together, there's certain things that I just reminded about. Or I will look at a certain guy and I'll say, okay, I remember that thing. Without even wanting to do it, there's just memories that come up. From church, I've been in church for many years and had many good experiences and amazing times. But also sometimes someone said something that hurt me, some stuff happened. I thought, this is not fair. It could have been done in a different way. And that was the first thing God said to me, just move from the judgment seat to the front seat. So I stood up. I literally moved to the front. I said, okay, Lord, then this is what I will do. And this is what I'll do for this whole week where we got together. And I just trust and I just said to Lord, work in my heart. Show me, what do you want to do? What do you want to speak through me? Or speak to through the guys next to me and help us to receive from one another. So it was really, really a precious time. At conference, we heard a lot about love. But the theme that came out also was forgiveness. As we move forward as a church, we also need to make right with one another and with people around us. For me, it was it's not specific, I think, for our church and for Shofar. It's more a general thing for moving forward. So that was precious, and I loved when that session, it was a session where Kirby, she just started fostering children in her home this year, and other people, how they just shared about their gifts and what they are doing, and how this love of God is manifesting through their lives. That was a really special thing, and I realized that for many of us in this season, God is going to speak to us about how the love of God can manifest through us, through our church, through us individually, and that we can bring our gifts. So we also started at the Pastor Summit. We just reflected. Everyone was there. We broke up into groups. We talked about the first things that drew us to Shofar. Now, I remember the worship, the word that was always, we stayed true to the word. That was always a big thing. So that many shared about the preaching, they shared about people following God. That for me was probably the thing that stood out for me the most. I read my Bible, and I was just looking for a church that's following the word. And that's how I end up with Shofar. And I can still say that's still true for us today. And then also, the things that made you stick, made you stay. And that for me is just, I had a word from the Lord that this is my house, this is my family. That's what Lee will always just say, it's family. When there's something that comes up, just say, I could work it out, it's family. That's what we do. And that for me was the thing that stood through all the years. This is family, this is my house. And that's what I trust for everyone, that everyone will find a local body, a place where it's family, and where you can serve God. And together we bring glory to God's name. So those are the things that came out. We talk about also the Holy Spirit that's always present in our meetings and when we come together. And we realize again our privilege we are to be in this church, and our privilege we are also for a family to come together and to serve the Lord. And then we had Dr. Courtney Becker from America. We had John Andrews. These guys all came and they shared also at the Pastor Summit. And John Andrews, I just want to highlight something that he said. He said, we always speak about vision and where we're going, taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And he said, your vision, that is the bus. That is, you get on this bus, and that's the sticker on the bus, where you're going. But not often do we talk about how do we behave on the bus. And that's the core values. And that, for me, was such a beautiful impression. Because he said, we always just want to get on the bus. Everyone must get on the bus. We're going somewhere. And we're just going. And alongside, maybe someone might fall off the bus, but we're just going somewhere. And he just highlighted the fact again that we need to talk about how do we behave on the bus. Because that is core values. That is what is important for us. That is how do we behave when we come together. And what do we value? In our home, we have a few rules, like listen to mommy and daddy, respect, being good stewards. So these things often, especially the last few weeks, every now and then Gustav and Samuel and Lucy, then I'll bring them together and then they fight and there's toys that's being broken. And I say, so what are the family rules? And I say, respect. I say, what does it mean? No, I must be kind to one another. And then we can talk about these things. Are you kind to one another? No. Because it gets really rough. And stuff. It's like a war zone sometimes. But every now and then, everything can calm down again. And we can come back to those rules. The rules that's in our house. And it brings us together. In our church, we follow hard after God. I said to the guys as well, that was always for me the truth. We're passionate about Jesus, but we're also people matter. And I'm thankful for what we have, the community that we have here, and that we can speak into each other's lives. And I'm actually trusting God that we will really grow in that. Dr. John Andrews, he mentioned this thing. He said, people must want to get on your bus. Or they might not even be sure where this bus is going. They must just look at the bus and think, wow, that is so great to be on this bus. Just from what we are seeing. And that was such a beautiful example for me to when we talk about church. Because church is really us that God has called and put together. And how we are a picture for the world of the love of God for one another. And when this bus, this picture of the bus, when the bus is happening, then people can look in and say they want to be on that bus. They want to come along with that journey. And they can feel safe there, and there's a freedom for everyone to be themselves. And that we grow together and work together. And then the thing that Dr. John Andrews did this highlight, it was three things. He said, a hunger for God. As we move forward as a church, that he told us as pastors, he said, continue cultivating that hunger for God. And then with that we will walk in humility. That we will really be humility, that we will really be teachable, able to receive from anyone. Or sometimes, especially if someone has hurt you or you don't want God to speak through that person. I know when we are not in a good space, and then she brings a word, and I realize, man, that is the Lord speaking through her. It's like, it could have been different. If it was Gustav or Samuel or Lucy, it would have been so much easier. And then sometimes it takes a few hours and stuff, and then later on, I'll say, okay, thanks for that word. Thanks for what you said. I receive it. And that is that. There's a humility that we need to grow into. And honesty, just being honest with what is going on in our lives, just being honest, trusting one another. Someone said that God cannot change the person you pretend to be. God changed who we are. But He cannot change the person we pretend to be. And I know that is hard work. To walk through life pretending to be someone that you're not. That is hard work. That was something where I, when I started dating Lee, I said to the Lord, I don't want to convince a girl to like me. I don't want to convince, I don't want to go through that effort to convince a lady to like me, because she must look at me and there must be something, God must do something there. Else I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing whatever I did in the beginning. And that's hard work. And I realized that in church and us coming together, there's a space that we can give one another to be ourselves. A space where we can, and we're already creating that space. But while mentioning these things, it's just important to come back and just to talk about it again. And just to say it to one another. Let's continue with a hunger for God. Let's walk in humility. Let's be honest with one another. And sometimes being honest is also then hearing that you're actually wrong. You share your heart, and then it's okay. Someone say, this is wrong, man. That's wrong. And I've had to also had to learn it the last couple of months. What I said something, and then people said, no, that is wrong. Okay, that's good. But in that, we get to the right place. When we all come together and we all bring our gifts, we all bring who we are and what God has placed inside of us together, if we walk in humility and if we walk in just in honesty, we can get to the right place where God wants to take us. And God can come and He can work through this platform that we've created for Him. So I'm really excited about that. We talked a lot about this at the Pastor Summit, where we were together. We had a lot of time where we worship. Well, every morning we worship together, trusting God for words, for ourselves, but also for one another. And trusting God to bring healing. Because there are guys that's involved, like my friend Manus in Shofar, Durban. He went through a tough time. He's pastor there, and he's still the pastor there. But Durban is a little bit isolated from the rest of Shofar. And he could just come and he could just share and say, guys, it's been tough. It's been tough. This has been happening. Just pray for me and stand in faith with me. And Pastor Heinrich, like most of you will know that Pastor Fred stepped down. He was the leader of our church, of the movement. And he stepped down in the beginning of the year. And Pastor Heinrich and Nikki, they took over. And Heinrich, he's got such a lovely, this heart, and he's really walking in humility. And we had a chance to listen to him, to listen to Nikki. And they started out, they said a few months ago, they didn't think that this is where they're going to be. They didn't realize that this is stuff that's going to happen in our church. This is how things are going to work out. They went through also for a difficult season. They lost twins through a miscarriage like in the last month. It was really, really tough time. And they said, and then he must come and he must stand up in front and lead the church and in this capacity. And he just shared it. He said, this is life, but from his perspective, he can truly say that God is with us. And God is taking us into a new season. There's been a lot of talk about new seasons and new things, but that was really the thing that came out through this week. We're standing at the Jordan, and we're ready to cross the Jordan. And God is with us, and He prepared us to cross over. And we as a church, we are crossing over. And what they say, we really are better together. We really are better together. Us here, only a few people meeting here today. There's a lot of Shofar churches all meeting this morning. And we're all connected. Pastor Heinrich sent all the pastors a message this morning just to encourage us for our services and what's going to happen. And Hercules moved into a new venue in London. The guys are in Namibia, in Swakopmund. They're trusting the Lord for a new building. They got some property there. There's a lot of things happening. And the beautiful thing that happened the last couple of months is how Pastor Heinrich just continued to speak about we are together, we're better together. And he encouraged everyone, speak up. If something is wrong, if you need resources, if you need stuff, let us know. Let us see how we can help one another. It was great for me to meet up with all the pastors because I know a lot of them, and we started out in Shofar together. And I told the guys that I'm very confident about church and our church Shofar and where we're going because of God, because I've seen our God come through for us here in Century City. I've seen the God's faithfulness. I see what God is doing, but also I realize the power of relationships. I've got very good relationships with a lot of the Shofar pastors. And I don't have a fear of failure because I know there's people that will cover us. There's people that will help us. There's people that will help us to build together and to move forward. And as we move forward, I just want to read for us this in Deuteronomy 34, where this was a significant piece of scripture for us this week. Where we're at the Jordan, and in Deuteronomy 34, verse 5, the word says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord has said. The Lord buried him." And verse 7, "Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord has commanded Moses." And then it continues and says, "There's never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And we know the amazing things that God did in the desert and how he came through for Moses. And even though it was tough times, they knew that God was with them. And God carried them through. And we realize that also us, as a church, we're standing at the Jordan River. We're standing at a place we're going to cross over. We're really excited about what God is doing in our midst and what he's doing for us. And I'm excited about Pastor Heinrich and his wife Nikki that's leading the church. But for many of the people that's been in Shofar from 1992, where the church started, they had to realize that there's a change now. There's a change in leadership. There's a new season. And we are moving forward. And that's what happened. But then the promise. Joshua 1. "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" And it's funny that it was still necessary for God to come and to tell him, "Moses is dead." Because he knew Moses died. That's at the end of Deuteronomy, moving over to Joshua. Moses did all these amazing things. God was with him. He was a friend of God. And the word said Moses died. And the people mourned 30 days. And now God coming and he said to Joshua again, "Moses is dead." So we've mourned him, but now we are moving forward. "And therefore the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." And that for me was the key thing. God always just said to us as a church again, He will continue to be with us. He will continue to walk with us. And we don't have to be afraid of what's coming. We don't have to be afraid of what's ahead. And then later, we realized as Joshua was approaching Jericho and to take the city, remember there was in Joshua 5, it was when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. And Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command. What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. And Ryan from Cause for Justice, he also mentioned this piece when he was here and sharing about the work that they are doing as an NGO. But I was just reminded of this. As we move forward, we often ask the same. We say, like Joshua, he came there and there was this, he saw this man, it was more like an angel, standing in front of him. And he said, "Are you with us or against us?" And God is just saying, "I am the commander of the armies." The question is actually, are you with me or are you against me? He's saying that I am the commander of the armies. I am the one that brings the victory. I am the one that eats control. God is still saying the same thing today. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that's in charge. And God is moving. And we are coming. We are committed as a church. In our church here, we are committed to walk with God. And with that, as we move forward, the question for us is really that what is going on in our hearts? What is the place where we are at? Do we feel disconnected? Do we feel there's stuff that we need to sort out? These were the kind of questions that we worked through, or we discussed as well at the Pastor Summit. These are the type of things that came up at conference when we talk about love, we talk about all these things. But every now and then it comes back to what's going on in our hearts. And I realize that there's a space for us to connect with God again. It's almost like a special grace to make right with people and with God. In the parenting course that you see we've advertised, and there's our banner, Evergreen Parenting, we talk about the garden of discipleship. Because often parents want to come there and they say, "I just want to know when I can give my children a hiding. They just want to know this and this. They want the rules." And you say, "It's long before we get there." That's a few weeks down the line, or a few sessions. And it's also very specific. It's just a part of discipline. But in this garden of discipleship, there's a lot of pictures, and we say that when you have an issue in your house, I'm not going to do the session, you can come to the course. But basically, there might be issues. There might be something that you don't understand. Is it my child? There's something wrong. Then we ask, is the problem with my child or is the problem with me? That's a good question to ask right up front. Because sometimes I'm just not in a good space, or something happened at work. You walk through the door and little Johnny is only 1.5 and he spills your coffee. He knocked it over and you explode. And it's actually not his fault. So now there's a situation. There's some tension. And then it's just a good question. Is the issue with Johnny or with me? And that just speaks about what's going on in our hearts, where we're at. And then in this garden of discipleship, in the garden there are several things that are just symbolic of places where we can go, or questions that we can ask one another. And there's a nice place, there's a well, a well of water. And it speaks of sometimes we need to go and sit at the well. We need to go and sit with Jesus, and we need to hear from the Lord again. We need to spend time with Him. We need to bring our hearts before Him. We need to say, "Lord, this is what's going on. These are my emotions. These are the battles that I fight at the moment. Please speak to me." So that is the well. And then there's another place, the garden bench. And that is where we sit with our children, or for this example, we sit with anyone, and we make time to make right. We make time to speak through things. We make time to discuss and allow God to come and to do what only God can do. And these are just the two things that I thought about as we talk about we're going to move forward, and God is we're in front of this river and we're moving over. And God is really, he's interested in our hearts. He wants us to behave on the bus. God actually wants to do a miracle. He wants to do miracles on our bus all the time. And he's ready to do it as we spend time at the well, as we come to him, and as we sit on this garden bench and just speak to people, being honest and in humility. And this is for me a good picture of us going forward. And I know for myself, I'm going to get in those situations. It comes up all the time because we are all sinners. We're all people that needs Jesus. We're all broken people. But through the power of Jesus, we can stand here and we can have hope and God come and he saves us. And that's beautiful. And we need to take people with us. And I sense that this is something that God has put in front of us. And I'm excited about this. And I'm also challenged by just Jesus. That he was always, about the Father. It was always about bringing glory to God, about his Father. Where I know that it's nice to tell my stories. It's nice to tell about my victories. It's nice to tell about the great things. The guys will know, I often say it, when you stand around the braai, the one killed something and everyone else killed something bigger. You're never sure if it really happened, but it sounds amazing. And there's a thing that we want to pretend sometimes to be in a good space. We want to put something out there. Everything looks amazing. And God is just challenging us to think about our lives and to think about how we live and just to shift the focus a bit away from ourselves to God and to bring him glory. I actually was amazed when you think about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these guys written it, and sometimes we must actually go and check if they are the authors. Because they speak so little about themselves. And in today, those books will probably, today what we see is autobiographies. Everyone telling their own story. And then they sell it. All the famous guys at one or other time, or the sports stars, they write a book about themselves. And that's obviously just what sells. But I was just challenged, and I said, God has said, let's write a story about God. Let our lives write stories about Jesus. And help others to see Jesus. Help others to see something about Jesus as we move forward. And even Matthew, if he must have been here today and standing here, Matthew the tax collector. Some of us might have thought that, man, that guy tricked me. He took my tax. He took more than was necessary. He was always with the tax collectors, and you know, they were really outcasts in the society and where they grew up. And now that guy comes to Jesus. Now I imagine there was a lot of issues that they had to sort out. People just looking at him, spending time with Jesus, walking with Jesus, and a lot of things to work through. But praise the Lord that he got to this place where his message was received and what his witness, his account of Jesus. I put it on a slide. Let's see if Clinton can find it. But for us to move forward, I just said, there's a quote here. We need our hearts to be awestruck by the glory of God, captivated by a love for our Savior, and broken by the lost and blind condition of the human race. We need our hearts to be awestruck by the glory of God, captivated by a love for our Savior, and broken by the lost and blind condition of the human race. We live in a broken world. So one thing is just, the challenge for us is just continue to be in awe of God, be in awe of who God is. And just to allow the love of God, to allow that love to consume us. and that it will manifest through in our church and in our on our bus and through our lives. And then I asked Jesus, Lord, show me what's going on around me. You know, we get to, I remember when my children were very small, they would see the cover of a DVD and they will know if they want to watch the DVD or not. And usually it was just a weird picture. Some character, it's a funny face, and they actually got afraid. They didn't like it. And then it's easy how we get desensitized. My dad is turning 76 now, so he doesn't watch any movies, nothing. He just said everything is just too rough for him. He can't handle the words, the violence. Because for most of his life, he grew up without a TV. And it's not like he's locked away somewhere and not experiencing life. He was working till the beginning of this year. He's 33 years a teacher in school, and then for many years a driving school instructor. And on the streets, driving with his car and speaking to people. And when I listen to his story, I realize that we quickly get desensitized. We get used to things around us, and it doesn't bother us anymore. But often there used to be a time where some of these things used to bother us. And when we said, no, we want to change something, do something different. And that is my challenge today. And for us, as we move forward, we will continue to see God's face. We will continue to experience the love of Jesus in our midst. We will look at how we behave on the bus, how we can make it a great space for everyone for everyone's gift to be received, because we need one another. We need all the gifts. We need whatever Jesus put inside of us. We need it, because I've got blind spots and you guys got blind spots. After I got married, I realized I've got more blind spots than I thought I have. And that's good. And I'm thankful for good friends through the years that just spoke into my life in community. And said, don't do that, don't do that. So I want to read for us 1 Corinthians 13. And it's just a chapter about love. And as I read it, just want you to follow with me, and then maybe there's something that stands out. Maybe there's something that we forgot. Just allow Jesus to speak to you. Allow the Word to speak to your life this morning. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I can move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And just listen to what love is. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the greatest of this is love. I'm excited about lying ahead for us. I'm really excited about us as a church. I love our community and what God is doing. How God's brought us together. I'm excited about Jesus. I told you before, every glass that I see is almost full. It's just I'm optimistic about life. But I realize that I'm optimistic because I've seen so many miracles and breakthroughs. And I've experienced so many things where I was really down and out. But there was nothing left in business, in relationships, many areas where we needed healing or on a mission trip, stuck in a village where people want to, well, stop everything. And many different scenarios, different things. But the one thing that stands true is God's faithfulness and who God is. And we can come to Him and we can celebrate Jesus. And He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm excited about lying ahead of us, excited about us as a church and all the conversations we had this weekend. At the end of the weekend, I stood up and I told the guys that I'm so excited to, I just felt that God wants us to dream big again. Where the Word speaks about where God will do what you cannot imagine. I've got a good imagination. I tell stories to my kids every day, a different story and stuff like that. And when I read that, it just excites me that God does more than what we can imagine, that we can think of. And that's something that I really hold on to for going forward. I know God is working in us and through us, and He's still going to do mighty things in our midst. So this morning, I'm just going to end. I just want to, guys, just to hand out the communion, that we can just take communion and we can just celebrate again and remind ourselves what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because that's where everything started. That's where why we can be here. That's why we can have church. Why we can pray for people that are sick. We can trust each other for breakthroughs when it comes to work, for when it comes to family. Whatever the situation, we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of our God. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and He said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again.'" And we're announcing the resurrection of Jesus. And that is why we can gather here, because Jesus is alive. And He's all powerful. And as we eat and we drink together, I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you a moment and you just ask the Lord to, firstly, to just put that hunger for God back in your life. So Lord, bring me back to a place where I just hunger for You. Yeah, and I just also pray that I know the Lord is stirring our hearts this morning. Each of you is special. That's why He died on the cross, because He knew that we are coming. There's going to be a day, there's going to be a time like this where we are going to gather in a church and we are going to make His name great. And He's with us and He's committed towards us. Let's just eat and drink, and then where you are, just bring your heart before the Lord. Lord, we thank You this morning for sending us Jesus, Lord. Thank You for making a plan, Lord, to save us. Lord, we acknowledge we are sinners, Lord, and thank You that You made a way for us to have life. Yes, Lord, through Jesus' body that hung on that cross and where he died, thank you for resurrecting him again. Thank you, Lord, that you conquered death. And thank you that we can look forward to tomorrow and the season that we're going in because of you and because of what you've done for us on the cross and because of what you're still doing for us. And Lord, when you rose up to heaven, thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is living inside of us. We thank you that we are not alone. Lord, I'm always so aware of just when you touched us and when you work in us, that alone is a testimony. That's already a testimony that you didn't leave us alone. Where we sense your presence in worship, where we receive a word, where we read scripture and it touches our lives. Thank you, Lord, for every moment like that. We can know that you are still committed towards our lives. You are still busy in us. And you want us to experience life. Lord, I come and I pray that you will help us, Lord, to lay down the things that distract us from you. To lay down the sin, Lord. To lay down stuff in our lives that we still struggle with. To lay down and to run strong with you, God. And I pray for us as a church that we will be a great image, Lord, of your love. That your love will manifest through us, Lord, more and more. People will look at us and they would want to be here, want to be part of this because of your love, God, that's here. Not because we are great, but because of what you are doing in our community. In Jesus' name. Amen.